Welcome to Star Party, an astrology and tarot podcast that serves up both soulful evolution and bedazzled celebration. I'm astrologer and hypnotist Sandy Citron.
And I'm astrologer and tarot reader Bess Matassa. We're so glad you're here. Let's get the party started.
Hello, Star Party listeners. We're back. It's me, Sandy. Hi, Bessie.
Bess. Oh, hi.
We're here. It's Aquarius season. We're excited. We're going to talk about thinking.
We're going to knock your socks off, listeners.
Knock your socks, knock your hat.
For some reason, I always imagine, maybe this is a little Piscean too, but I imagine like Uranus like swooping someone out of their, like those scenes in movies where a person gets whisked away and then all you see is like their little shoes or something on the floor.
Whoa, yeah.
They're just like spirited away, like whoosh.
Wow. And it's funny their shoes get left behind. It's like you didn't take everything else or
I know. Where are you going barefoot?
Yeah. My like weird thing I always think about with Uranus, and Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius, but you might know that. My thing I always think about is like pushing in a wheelbarrow around and then trying to catch all the ideas that are falling into it. And it's like, there could be a much better metaphor, you know, but that's what I always think of. It's like rain falling and you're trying to catch all the rainwater, but there are really good ideas that you gather in your wheelbarrow.
Ooh, I like that. It kind of reminds me of the storm cycle of Uranus too, and Aquarius, like that feeling of like the stillness and then the rupture and then the stillness again on the other side, like that fixed energy, but that sort of electrifying fixed energy, not dissimilar to Scorpio in a way, like that fixed quality that's still like deeply transformative and turns over matter and invigorates matter.
Yeah. I think that's one of the big enigmas about Aquarius is like, how do we bring together this idea of fixed, or as you said, stillness, which I really like that, with the erratic and the changing and the eruption, as you said, which I also really liked. So I think you just did that for us in a very nice way. Thank you.
I don't know. It was a Uranian moment. Where it came from.
We're hoping for a lot of those. Yeah. A lot of great ideas to catch in our wheelbarrows. Cool. So yeah, I think we already started chatting about Aquarius and Aquarius season, but take it away, Bess. What are your thoughts?
I'm going to take it away. Well, I've been having a couple of main thoughts, maybe three, maybe four. But the first has been, I've been really kind of curious about air energy. Is one of the hardest for me to sort of speak about and write about. And there's something that always eludes me about, I don't know, bringing this into incarnate form. But lately I've been playing a lot with sort of the tripart, understanding air energy through its trinity and the naming of the three sort of qualities of that. And I've been thinking about Gemini really as the breath, you know, that in out, the reciprocity, the exchange, that part of the circulating air, and then Libra as the light, the sort of reach, the distance, the illumination, the clarifying, all of that, the kind of elevating. And then Aquarius as space, as like the room to move. And this isn't some, you know, great breakthrough or anything, but I think I've been really aware lately around air's ability to create gaps and then to close gaps. And so for me, one of the things that air energy really grapples with is handling possibility, like creating possibility and then kind of reckoning with the moving toward the possible. And secondly, I think where I've really been getting with Aquarius lately, the word purification keeps coming to me. And I don't really know the intricacies of, you know, the water purifying process or how purification works on sort of a holy or a sacred level, but I've been thinking about it with regard to this liberation that happens in Aquarius, this making room for something, you know, or whether or not we actually have room for something in preparation for Pisces. It's almost like we're getting ready for the final emptying or the final release in Aquarius. So of course we have to widen. Of course we have to create more space. And that's a kind of purifying process where we're clear and clean on what life is actually about. in order to then, you know, ultimately move beyond it. And initially, when I was sort of thinking about purification, I was like, oh, there's this interesting kinship with Virgo and Aquarius, which I've always, as you know, I've been like fascinated by the quincunx and the inconjunx, or, you know, same word for the, or different word for the same thing. But in Virgo, I think the purifying process is that like filtration, that like rising to the surface of something or drawing out of the vital. And in Aquarius, it's kind of like a cleaning and cleansing and like clearing process that moves side to side, you know, rather than that sieve. And I don't know where that's all going, but I'll just leave the purification there for now. And then the second thing I've really been thinking about, or maybe the third, is this idea of presence, and the ultimate, like Aquarius in some ways is the ultimate act of presence, where we present ourselves to the void, where we present ourselves to the unknown or the unknowable. And for me, this like brings us back to Leo, of course, like this other end of the Leo Aquarius axis. And like, in some ways, I feel like these two signs are like the full frontals of the zodiac. Like they welcome the with, and in Leo, it comes with the wholeness of the self, you know, and shows itself, presents itself. And then in Aquarius, it's like the presence with all presences, you know, and the, I don't want to say the obliteration of the self, but the showing the self to the void. You know, Leo shows the self to the self, you know, in some ways, or shows it in exchange where it gets sort of that feedback and, you know, see and feel me. And Aquarius in some ways shows itself and says, take me and use me, or take me where you will. Like I'm intact in my selfhood. I'm presenting again. Off I go. And then I started to think a little bit about this like full frontal. And I'm like, well, isn't that the Aries Libra axis? Isn't that kind of full frontal? But I feel like Aries Libra is presents, but it's like the lean. It's the lean into the thing. It's not just the presentation of self. And then I started to really geek out about like what it means to progress from the sun using solar energy to a Uranus experience, a higher octave expression of how the self is used. And then the last thought I had, a little mini thought, was, oh, isn't it interesting that air signs always follow earth signs? I'd never really thought about it before in that way. And what does it mean to like push off earth and move into air? And I think that's going to be something that comes up in the question that we have from our listener too.
Ooh,
so I'll leave it there.
Cool.
Sneak peek.
Did you know that your first three were all P words? Like, was that part of your planning? Like, was it?
Wait, what words?
It's you said possibility.
Oh, purification and presence.
And no. Presence.
Oh my God. I like do it even when I'm like, don't want to be doing it. Jesus. It's a real sickness.
I don't know. I mean, it's beautiful. It's really cool. And it's a way that we can all remember, helps us remember it. Oh yeah. God. Oh, wow. Yeah. Really, really great stuff there. Yeah. We're going to have to like, I don't have, you know, a nice outline
triple
of my
P.
thoughts, a triple P outline. I was just going to follow my train of thought, which might end up, we might end up out in space somewhere, but we'll find out.
Come on, let's go. I'm ready for it.
So I was like, well, I was meditating on our question yesterday, and I was kind of like opening my imagination to where, you know, to some visual imagery. And I kind of felt myself like zipping through clouds. Maybe it was myself in relation to the questioner or just a, you know, who knows, but zipping through clouds, and the clouds kind of made like a tunnel. And then when I popped out of the tunnel of clouds, I could see the overview of like when you're flying in a plane and you look down and you see like a city below or a landscape below, where you can see that bird's eye view of the landscape. And it's interesting. It's a very different view, you know? And so I was thinking, oh yeah, that's really Aquarius, where you're up above, you have this high perspective, and you see everything. You can really see and think about things in a very different way because you have that perspective. And I think Aquarius people do that really naturally, where they're, you know, they're faced with a problem and they immediately kind of rise up above it and start to piece it together. And I almost had this feeling or imagery of, you know, being able to move like with that bird's eye view, then, you know, pretend you're looking down at like a model of, you know, a city or something. You can start to move the buildings around. You can start to move the cars around, pick up the trees and move them here. And it's so natural for Aquarius people, or maybe all of us in Aquarius season, to start to think like, well, where do I want to put things, or how do I want to connect them? And it's a kind of planning a bit different from Capricorn planning, where it's conceptual. You know, it's like, I'm in the overview, I'm looking down, I can plan, I can move things, but then I can move them back. Like, I'm not actually doing anything here. I'm just kind of thinking it through. I'm figuring it out. And I thought, oh, isn't it interesting that with all of this ability that Aquarius people have to see the overview and to get a grip on things and to really see the big picture and to be up above it all, kind of detach, figuring it out, looking down, you know, there's a lot of confidence, I think, typically that can come from that. There's a type of confidence that you get because of certainty or a kind of awareness of like, oh, I see how this works, or I see what's going to happen, or I see what I can do, or I know I can project ahead. I can project into the future. I can plan. I have the overview. And I think there's a natural confidence that I notice in a lot of Aquarius people, like kind of just a very quiet confidence of like, yeah, I get this. And what's funny then too about Aquarius, because it's the most, what's a word that means like opposites? I can't remember. Ugh, I always forget this word. Like when it holds two different opposites in one thing.
Dichotomous?
Yeah, sure. No. Yeah, or not. Does it start with
paradoxical?
Paradox. Paradoxical. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Thanks. This is why Bess and I do this together. It's like this most paradoxical sign where it's just like there's like these Aquarius holds all these different opposites in it. And one of them is that with all this confidence and certainty and sense of like being able to know the future, see the future, Aquarius is also the sign of surprises. It's the size of the sudden change and the shift and the erratic thing and the sign of like, ah, let's disrupt all this. You know, we've been doing it this way. And I think it kind of, you know, in one sense, it can come from that Aquarius type person looking so far ahead or really having that bird's eye view and getting the sense of things that they say, ooh, I can see down the road this isn't going to keep working. So let's change it. And so let's change it. And maybe to other people, that's a surprise. Or maybe to that person, it's a surprise. But they're very ready because of that confidence to pivot, to shift, to change. They see the possibility. They see how, you know, oh, we could be doing this differently. Like, this isn't going to keep working. It might be working now, but like things, the world is always changing. And that's one thing we're certain of. So what are we going to do instead? You know? And then there's also the sudden change, the erratic change, this kind of electrical quality of Aquarius that we always talk about. It's electrical. It's like you get zapped and you're like, oh, now I'm different. It's so wild that this is a fixed sign, a sign that wants to keep things the same, but is so open to change and being fully different. And I think it's that full frontal thing that you're talking about, where this Aquarius person, or during an Aquarius season or an Aquarius time of our lives or a Uranus influence time, that we can say, oh, I'm fully different now. Like, I'm fully ready for change. I've like fully arrived here, or I know that I can ground down somehow into this new reality. I just have to get there. And I think one of the hardest things for Aquarius to do is have these moments when you got to catch up to the new thing, because Aquarius wants to be fully in the new thing. You know, it's like a sudden sign that wants to just fully arrive. And so when there's a moment or a time where there's a lag, and it's like, oh, I got to save enough money to do this thing I want to do. Or, you know, I've got to, you know, wait for the technology to be there, or, you know, I need to grow a little bit older before I could do that. It's very frustrating for Aquarius, because it's like, ah, but I want to be fully in it. I want to fix down into this new thing I see in my mind's eye that I can conceptualize. I want to get into it. So much there. The last thing I'll say is that Aquarius is also the sign of rebellion and revolution and changing and disrupting. And I always thought that that was so, you know, it's a fixed sign. So what about the tradition, or what about the way we've always done it? But in order to create rebellion or revolution or to really change things, you have to be fixed. You have to be fixed, or else you'll never have the energy to do it. You'll never believe in it enough, or grind down, or like get into that new way of doing things. And so it's really interesting. But what you have to be fixed in is your concept, your belief, your idea of what you want it to be. And so we're back again to this very conceptual piece about Aquarius, which is like, for Aquarius people or for a time of Aquarius energy, you got to get your mind, you got to get the clear vision. You've got to know what it is, the ideals, the values, the concepts, the thoughts, the why, you know, why is this thing going to be the thing that you're creating, or how, or whatever it is about the concept that always has to come first. So I think there's a lot of takeaways there for Aquarius season and also for the Aquarius people. And
yeah. There's like a couple of things I wanted to sort of riff on and what you're bringing forward, because there's such brilliance to what you're saying about, I've never quite thought of it this way, like the, I can see down the road that it will or won't work, so let's change it. Mm. And then it's never really a surprise to the person, because there's some knowing. And it was making me think so intensely of, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, because I feel like I had this lover like a number of years ago who was a triple Aquarius and really changed my understanding of Aquarian energy. And I remember that they, like when we started communing together, they already knew the entire trajectory of our relating. And when the finale like finally happened, they had been telling me it, like how it was all going to unfold the whole time. It unfolded that way. It was totally revolutionary. It totally changed my whole orientation in the world. And yet I was like floored when the ending came. And it was like, but you have been preparing for this the whole time. And this person was able to see that. And they were trying to get me, maybe not trying to get me to see it, but they were stating it clearly. But I was not able, you know, I didn't have that capacity. And then it was like a shock to my system. Like it felt like all of these revelations were shocks to the system, but that person was like quietly confident the whole time. And like, well, I told you this would happen, like, you know? And then I was thinking when you were first speaking, I don't know what you said exactly, but it was making me think of a phrase that always comes to me with Aquarius. And it's the phrase, like everything in its right place, which seems strange at first, because you think about Aquarius energy as like uprooting or destabilizing on some level. But I think what Aquarius energy does, and it's why I've always had this tie in my mind to the word biodiversity, like Aquarius allows everything to be fully as it is, like in its heightened expression of its nature, like making peace with its own nature, which again, I think both connects us back to the work that starts in Leo, and also like interestingly to the in conjunct in Virgo, and that sort of understanding the nature, the capacities, the limitations, like knowing that every piece has a part in the, you know, and it's like to get into the soup that we go into in Pisces, again, there's like this last intactness of knowing sort of the function and the role. And like, yes, there's all of these sort of surprise collisions that are then going to happen when people are all and energies are all in the fullness of themselves. But there's also this like very surprising continuity that happens in Aquarius. And I don't know, there's something in that. And then when you were talking about the paradox, I was like, and of course there's other signs that every sign contains complexities and creative contradictions, but there's something about paradox and the holding of opposites and all air energy. And I don't know where that is going to land, but it's something when you were speaking about it, I was like, oh, wow, there's something in that for air energy writ large. Like, I don't know how you feel as like a deeply air archetypal being, like about that, what that means to hold opposites within yourself. Or,
I mean, with Libra, it seems almost obvious, like, where I, you know, I can literally argue two sides of two different sides in the same conversation. Like it's insane. Like I have to stop myself from doing it because there's no point most of the time, you know. Right. I think almost it's interesting, maybe, and this is, you know, I could be argued out of this idea. Maybe this air opposites thing, like it's almost like I see like a little pendulum going back and forth. And with Gemini, it's like really small, right? It's like these little, like, oh, I'm learning this, I'm learning that, I'm giving you this thought, I'm sharing this, you know. And then with Libra, maybe it gets bigger and it kind of swings out. And it's almost like like Gemini's is like hourly and Libra's is like by the day. Cause I feel like with Libra, you're trying to always balance your day. You're just like, okay, well, this morning, you know, or like I got this much sleep, so now I need to focus on exercise, or like there's like a balance throughout a day that I want to attain, which I never do, you know. But and then Aquarius is like maybe a bigger time frame of this opposites, where it's like a month or something, where you're like, okay, there's a bigger swing, or there's a bigger, I don't know, it's just a metaphor. Doesn't really work.
Yeah. But. And making peace with like, I don't know, that kind of constancy and continuity that then's able to make peace with like the ultimate unknowability or the erraticism of like the universe at large too, like the pendulum swing of the external. Not that Aquarius has to be about that, but I think that there's an interesting, I don't know, we could riff on this for a long time, but there's an interesting relationship for me between air energy and the external. Like there's this, I don't know, there's this innate, and maybe it comes from the act of respiration or this kind of reciprocal relationship that air has. And yeah, I don't know. I'm just going to leave that there. But there's something about when you were talking about the swing and the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like when you think about, I don't know, it just made me think of like, anytime I hear the word external, I think of Saturn, because Saturn's all about these like structures or boundaries, you know, and like these external limitations maybe. And Libra's exalted in Saturn, or sorry, in Cap. Wait, no, you know what I mean.
I got you.
Aquarius is traditional ruler is Saturn. Can't right. Anyway. Can't follow that thread, but
well, there's this kinship between air and earth energy in my mind too. I mean, we can put any of the elements together, but for me, the way that I used to see those, and we'll probably get into it in this person's chart too, like those two axes, is that water and fire on some level are internal irrational, like they're generated from the inside out, and then they bump against the world, and you're like, what the fuck, you know? Versus air and earth. Look to the outside world. And that's not to say like it's not like an egoic thing or like people are responsive or proactive or anything like that. But I think that there's a knowingness of the geometry of the world with air and earth. And then there's a kind of, you know, like processing of that on some level versus this kind of like irrational internal swirl that happens in fire and water and then either gets externalized or isn't. You know, I think water or fire may be externalizing that more than water. But yeah, and I think I may have that kind of kinship. I don't think it's those words, but I think that might be like a Stephen Arroyo thing or somebody. I may have gotten that somewhere now that I'm thinking about it, that way of like looking at the elements. I think it's in his book about the elements, like from the 70s or early 80s. I don't know. Awesome. Anyway.
Put that on the reading list.
Yeah.
Well, should we jump into our question?
Oh my God, let's get into it. All right, okay. Let me pull it up.
Just a disclaimer, first of all, I do know the person who asked the question to the listeners. So, okay. Yeah, I won't say how I know this person because I want to keep it all fully anonymous, but I do know the person. So
the person is known, and the question is about the unknowns and the knowns. That's so right. We'll see. We need to let it be known that we know, or you know.
Yeah.
All right. So the question reads, I am an Aquarius, and my wife, an Aries, and I had our first baby, who is also an Aquarius. As newish parents, we feel incredibly lucky. He is in good health, a good sleeper, a good eater, and just so darn happy all the time. We both have found ways to have our own space and feel incredibly connected with each other. We are big-time planners, and while we feel lucky, we also feel like some of the success came in part due to our structure, or at least we got lucky, our structure worked for him. How would a large surprise that was not part of our plan, say an addition of a Cancer or a Leo, change our dynamic? There are so many known unknowns with a significant change to our family's dynamic, but when it's unexpected, I feel like we don't even know all of the unknowns yet, so maybe the stars have some guidance. Oh my God, the way this question's written, I'm going to go wild on it. It's so exciting. No, you take it away, Sandy, I'll bring up the rear.
Awesome. I just realized that when I pulled up his chart, I didn't add the transits and progressions. I'm just doing that really quick. So I'm going to call our questioner dad Aquarius or Aquarius dad. Okay. and then we've got baby Aquarius, and then we've got mom Aries. And we'll mostly focus on dad because he asked the question, but I just for the record, mom Aries has a Cancer moon and baby Aquarius has a Leo moon. So if that.
Oh, I was wondering. I know it was on the edge.
Yeah, I found out it's a Leo moon.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so Cancer and Leo are already in the mix.
Right? So wild. Yeah. So interesting. Yeah. So either, you know, a Cancer or a Leo baby sounds like. I'm just looking at these transits. It's kind of funny and amazing. Okay. So where do I want to start with this? So our questioner is, you know, basically saying here, like, you know, things have been going good and they've got structure. And now how would a large surprise change our dynamic? How would a large surprise change our dynamic?
Well, you should know, Aquarius Dad.
Yeah. There are so many unknowns with a significant change. But when it's unexpected, we don't even know all the unknowns. So, you know, this is where I started to meditate and I saw this kind of like zipping through clouds and then you come out on the landscape and you're looking down and you can normally get this overview. But this questioner is saying, hey, this new surprise came along and I don't have an overview yet. Like I have no overview. I can't even get into the overview because I don't know enough about the landscape. I can't even see. Where we could assess and imagine that normally this person likes to have a sense of, I can see the landscape and now we'll move the little houses around, we'll move the trees around, we'll configure it like this. And, oh, what do we think about that? You know, that kind of control, right? And when there's a big change or a surprise, we don't have control. And I think that's important. So Dad Aquarius also has an Aquarius moon, so double Aquarius. And Dad Aquarius has a Capricorn rising and a bunch of Capricorn planets, like a stellium of Capricorn planets. So Uranus, Saturn, Neptune, and Mercury all in Capricorn and Capricorn rising. So I love Capricorn Aquarius combos, like such a great combo. It's definitely someone who is looking at the tradition, the past, the structure, and able to comprehend like how things work and how to use resources. It's very functional and practical. But then also with that Aquarius edge, being able to say, oh, okay, here's what we need to change. Here's what we need to shake up. Here's what we need to disrupt to make how we're doing this better. So it's very functional. For a long time, I was doing a lot of work with a bunch of different people who worked at an investment firm and all of these investors who are also like starting businesses all had like Capricorn and Aquarius combos. Like they were all like, okay, what's the business? And now we need to disrupt it and change it. And this is the cutting edge and this is where we're going to go. And this is going to shake up the industry and like very, very functional. Okay. So I wrote down some notes. So there's this sense of the bird's eye view and, you know, like typically when a surprise comes up, I'm going to ignore my notes. Actually, I never use notes when I'm doing readings. It's like, it doesn't work. I have to be in the moment. Okay. So I'm feeling like, you know, the thing is that when you don't have the full landscape, when you don't have the full view, you know, you can't get like your head wrapped around a surprise. It's really hard for someone with this Aquarius Capricorn. You have to allow for the lag time. You have to allow yourself to kind of soak up the surprise and then start to understand how to put the pieces together and how to make things actually work. Because what you really want to do, listener, is you have that Mercury in Capricorn. You really want to know like how to put the pieces on the chessboard and how to move them along and like where they're going to build and be practical and make strong decisions and make things work. You're like, okay, how do I fit this into my structure? That's like your strength is when you can do that. And you are normally so quick to be able to pivot and so good at like bringing in a new idea or a new disruption and then working that into your structure. So it's hard when something really sets you back on your back heel and you're like, oh, I don't know what to do with this. So you have to allow for that lag time and know that very quickly, more quickly than most people, you'll be able to make a plan and make a new structure. And, you know, it makes me think as I'm saying that, but like, it's not all there is, right? There's not just the being the surprise and then the structure and the planning. We're also kind of wondering like, how are we feeling and how are the emotions flowing? And when you have Aquarius sun and Aquarius moon, emotions are an interesting thing because they are very strong. Aquarius is like a very strong feeler, and often is it's said that Aquarius is very detached, and that's true. Aquarius can be very detached and very objective, but the emotions, just as with everyone, are very strong. And so what Aquarius is always trying to figure out is how to make space for those big emotional waves when they come in. Let those big emotional waves have a lot of space so that they can fully perform and those emotions can fully flow, and then allow those emotional waves to really, you know, be full and then to end and to pass away, not pass away, but like to pass on and move through. Because Aquarius has such a big emotional response, but also at the same time has a sense of like, ugh, I didn't like that. Like, I wish I'd been objective, or I wish I'd been more detached. I wish I hadn't gone fully into that wave. And then when it's over, that emotional wave is over, Aquarius is very quick to be like, ah, that never happened. It's over now. And everyone else is like, wait, what? You know? So it's an interesting, like, it's like to bring your conceptual mind into these emotional moments and to be like, really talking to yourself through it and be like, yeah, it's okay to just have the feelings, have them be what they are without trying to judge the feelings or control the feelings or to detach away from them, to really just let them be and to let them like move, you know, and to be sitting next to those feelings and kind of honoring those feelings and making space for those feelings is so important. And over this past year, listener, you've had Saturn, which is the planet of responsibility, planning, and also kind of limits, like external limits, like, ah, I'm limited. I don't have as much freedom because I have these responsibilities. That planet has been sitting on your sun and moon. And so Saturn has been helping you grow really fast. And through kind of having to sit with responsibilities and be very serious. And Saturn's been saying like, well, yeah, step up to the plate now. And this can also be a bit depressing when this happens. It can bring up a lot of feelings of like, oh, this is hard and depressing. I know you said in your note, things have been going really great and that's great. Like both can be true at the same time, right? Like things can be going really great. And there can also be a sense of like, ah, this is different. Like there's a lot of, you know, this is hard. So Saturn has moved on and through 2023 will continue to be kind of off your sun and moon, which is great. Like that era of maybe a feeling of loneliness or isolation or really hard work or hard responsibility or kind of growing up really fast, it's actually in the rear view mirror now. It's in the past. But just to kind of acknowledge that you've had over this last year, 2021, 2022, you grew a lot. Like you really stepped up to the plate. And now that growth is complete. And that Saturn gave you a big chance to kind of put a lot of structure into place and to really, you know, feel like, okay, I've got stability here. So that's just like, let's see what else here is coming up. This is funny. Uranus is transiting your fourth house of home and family. So lots of changes on the home front that will continue over the next 6 years, where you're just going to be continuously pivoting, maybe moving, maybe always changing the house around, moving things around, shifting up, you know, the way the family feels, you know, the dynamics. This is just, and it will be surprising. With Uranus, it's like, oh, surprising. So funneling that surprising energy into children is great because children are surprising, you know, and having new children, it can be surprising. So there's just a lot of surprises. It's not good or bad. It's just good to know that there will continue to be more surprises around home and family stuff. And that could be many different things, you know, and it's not good or bad. It's just open, be open to that. Let's see here. I also just thought it was cool that Mom Aries has a Cancer moon, because Cancer and Aries is such a like that combo. I see is just such a great strong mom. Cancer is the sign that rules mother. So like, and then having your moon in Cancer is such a strong mother figure, and then Aries is the spontaneity. Like, let's just do it. Let's just move it. Let's make it happen. And I know a couple of Aries moms who have like 4 children. Not that I'm saying that you guys are going to go have 4 children, but that there's just a sense of like, there's something new here to tend to. Let's just do it. Let's just take it on. Let's make it happen. A very confident, very powerful kind of way of making that happen and doing that. Yeah. So I feel like I haven't spoken to like, how's this surprise going to affect our family? So I'm going to let that hang. I want to hear what Bess has to say, and then maybe I'll come back around to that.
Well, I got some weird shit.
Go so, for it.
Just like bear with me. And the first figure that I want to invoke, well, maybe I don't want to invoke this figure, but it's interesting. A couple of times this person has come up in the past year, always when I'm speaking about Aquarius energy. So it's not surprising this person's here, but I'm in by no means endorsing this figure beyond like the confines of a very specific conversation. And the person is Donald Rumsfeld, you know, who is no longer with us, you know, so he's, you know, departed the area. But Donald Rumsfeld basically during, I think it was like pretty close, like post 9/11, like war on terror, quote unquote, that period of time, had this famous speech where he was talking about like the known unknowns and the unknown knowns and all of like these kinds of quadrants of mystery. And he was basically riffing on something called the Johari window, which I can't remember the origins of it, but it's sort of a psychological apparatus that lets us explore mystery within ourselves. And in the Johari window, there's 4 quadrants, and it's all about like self and others, like things that are known to yourself, but unknown to others, or things that are known to others, but you know, and it's a very interpersonal window. I'm going to sort of like let that stand, but like, and kind of riff on the Donald Rumsfeld slash like the contents of this question, because for some reason, it's always like this Aquarian, you know, these quadrants of mystery, and it feels very Aquarian to take something like, you know, there's an ultimate sort of mystery and void space in Aquarius energy, but there's also a sort of apportioning, or like you're talking about so beautifully, this sort of like panoramic view and where things go, like the place for things like within that landscape. But it really leapt out to me in this question, because the crux of the question is the, to me, the edge in this person between the known unknowns and the unknown unknowns. And it's almost like he can't even say the unknown unknown. He has to say, we don't even know all of the unknowns, as if like we can, if we apply ourselves, definitely know all the unknowns. Like the presence, and it, you know, forgive me if this is getting a little out there, but the presence of the unknown unknown, the ultimate unknowable, is the thing that haunts this question. And it would be, and of course it's coming through the realm of a question about fire and water. And I'm not saying that this person necessarily understands these things on a conscious level, like what those elements mean in astrology, but like all good Aquarians probably has a sense of those on some other level as, I don't want to say threatening, but like a Leo Cancer, fire and water, the irrational realm, pose of an unknowable quality, you know, to this person. And we see invitations in this person's chart around lubrication and loosening and the letting in of those elements. This chart is very what I would call dry. And I don't mean dry like the person's dry, but like it's predominantly air and earth, you know, it's not, but there's a little bit of a invitation in other directions. We've got, you know, we've got this, well, it's not exactly a grand trine, but it's approximating in water with Chiron in Cancer, North Node in Pisces, Midheaven and Pluto, Pluto on the Midheaven in Scorpio. There's a Cancer moon partner in the scenario. There's a potential of a new Cancerian baby coming in. Like there's a watery invitation. And I just wanted to roll back for a minute with this sort of riff on the Johari. And this is like a very inquit and probably like janky way of looking at this. But I was really thinking about those four quadrants, not the Johari window specifically, but the riff on it, as expressions of the elements. And so I was thinking about, okay, the known known. To me, the known known, and again, this is imperfect, but I'm just sort of laying this apparatus down on the elements. The known known is Earth. The known known is like, what you see is what you get, the tangible world. I know this. I left this object on the table. There it is again. The known known as being the realm of Earth. And then I was thinking about the known unknown, the things that we know that we sense there's mystery about as air. We have like a knowledge, we have a possession in that. We have a certain like exertion of control or perception that we, you know, and he's asking the question in that light. He's like, we know a lot of the unknowns, you know, like, and it felt to me like a very air orientation. And then I was thinking about the unknown known, and this is where it gets a little weird, but I'm thinking of like the unknown known as a realm of like a kind of intuitive sensing, like there's something unknown, but I know it's out. I know it's out there. And that feels very fiery to me. That feels very like the availability to sit with the invisible world, but from the seat of like, I can sense, like I have some sort of orientation to that and it's mine out there. It's my meaning or my significance, whatever. And then the final realm, to me, the unknown unknown is perhaps the water realm, you know, maybe symbolized most vitally through Pisces, the ultimate unknown unknown. So I don't know. I'll just leave that part of that there, but it could be sort of interesting to play with if it doesn't like blow out your brain and make your because when I was like first writing this out, I was like, oh Jesus. Like I had like all these quadrants and I was like, oh, what does this mean? Anyway, so I think that there is in the backdrop of this question, to the extent that it's possible or tolerable for the nervous system in this person, to play a little bit with the edge of that. Like, and I think it's what you're speaking to, Sandy, as well, with the sitting in the flux of emotions, you know, or the before there's the lift out or before there's like the getting to the other side with the assessment, that immersive feeling in the mystery, you know, and building a little bit of tolerance for that. The second thing that I was thinking about, you know, was in conjunction with this person's numerology moving into 2023, you know, we're near the start of the calendar year. And, you know, numerologically through the major arcana, this person's moving into a devil card year, you know, ruled by Capricorn. And I felt like this kind of undertone in this question almost of like, structure, this person feels very confident in their capacity to create structure, their reliance on structure, their partner's reliance on structure. And yet there's this like, the surprise is almost like, I don't want to say that this Aquarius person orchestrated, like Aquarians orchestrate everything, whether they're conscious of it or not, but there's a real soul readiness, it feels to me, for a challenge to the structure, for a adaptive response to something. And devil card energy to me really recenters us in a Capricorn conversation around authority. It's like structure says who, or like who figured that out, or who decided that that was the apparatus. And, you know, I've never had a child, so I don't know, but I can say from observational, you know, like just observing people, it seems like having a child is one of the, of course, there's an element where you can structure your house and your home and the way that you raise children, but especially when there's babies involved, it's quite a spontaneous, it feels to me like a spontaneous, emergent ask around a response to this creature who's literally like emerging and shifting and wiggling and going over here and here and, you know, and the plan, like, yes, it feels like that can be, like the bones are already in place, you know, in this person's life. And actually the exhilarating edge is the adaptation now. and the ability I was almost imagining, and it seems very like Cancer end of the Capricorn Cancer axis too, where it's like the shell springs up spontaneously around the situation, or it's almost like there's marshaled resources that can come and meet the moment when the baby goes here or this happens. And then we rise to kind of meet it and almost form this sort of skin around, you know, around that, rather than having the apparatus totally figured out in place. And then the baby like comes in and we like slot the baby into, you know, this space. And so this phrase, like making room in the room, kind of came through to me. Like the bones of this person and their life and their partnership are always going to be strong. Like there's always going to be this outline around this life. So it's really about what's happening now in the center of the room, rather than trying to continue to reperform and hold up the walls and sort of reproduce the walls. And the last thing that I thought was kind of interesting. Oh, and then, you know, by the by, I don't know where this is, but I kept hearing the song, like Knock on Wood, that like late 70s disco song. While I was looking at this chart. And then I curiously like Googled that singer. I think she was like a little bit of a one-hit wonder. Maybe she had some other songs, but she's an Aquarius, at least an Aquarius sun. But I was thinking about this idea of that push off from Earth and like, okay, we made the structure, whatever. It's almost like, you know, when you knock on wood in a conversation, like, you know, you take the leap, you go forward, you're going to take a chance. And you're sort of like having that last moment where you know, pat the wall or ground down and are like, okay, this is where I left myself, or this is where what I know I can rely on in order to then go forward into some greater mystery. And I think there's a readiness for that, that kind of pushing off of the pre-created structure in order to be in sort of the center space. And then I had this other thought about the Leo, because, you know, we don't know whether this future baby is going to be a Leo or a Cancer. There's already Cancer energy unfolding in this person's life through the partner, through the partner. I had initially thought that the baby was a Cancer moon too, but the Leo moon of the baby. And that end of the axis, I think, is interesting, because in Leo, there's no real plan. The plan is presence. The plan is like show up as the self and then things respond, you know, or like sort of arrange around them. And so there's something, I don't know, maybe kind of interesting to move into that end of things too, but I'll leave it there. Yeah. So like, oof, yeah.
Good. That is really cool. I'm going to have to go back and write down some notes about those quadrants. Yeah. I was just looking again while you were talking at some of the transits and progressions, just to kind of answer that question of like, how are we going to navigate this? Like, how's it going to feel? And I noticed that for Dad Aquarius, he's at the end. So the ruler of his area of children, which is the fifth house, is Mercury. So I wanted to see what's happening with Mercury in the chart. So what's this vibe right now around children? And Pluto is conjunct Mercury. So it's at the end, it's like almost 2 degrees away from Mercury now. And so it's at the end of this last year or 2 years, Pluto has been talking to Mercury. And so that is about this current kind of thing that's ending for you, Dad Aquarius, is like, oh, we totally have to transform all of our thoughts and feelings and ways of taking action around this whole concept of children. And also how, because the fifth house also rules like how you have fun and how you enjoy yourself and your own identity, just a total transformation of really of the ego and the sense of how children operate. So for you, the key word, Dad Aquarius, is like just total transformation, just really letting go of the old and stepping into the void of the unknown and welcoming the new. And you've already been doing that. So you've already experienced this. And this is kind of wrapping up now. So it's like the last hurrah of this is this next child. You know, really just totally disseminating. Is that the right word? Getting rid of the ego. Just, you know, taking it down to the ground. And this is a good thing. You know, these are great. Transformation is good. And then I noticed in, I don't have Mom Aries' full chart, but just taking a quick look, her progressed sun is trine to Neptune. And then I believe there was another like Neptune thing going on. And so you know, kind of what you were talking about with Neptune best being about the unknown unknowns, you know, the things that we just can't even know at all. Again, this is another type of void. We're stepping into the void. We don't know anything. We're having to let it all go. A different way of getting there. But again, for Mom Aries right now, there's a kind of mastery around how do we just let go? Like Aries Cancer isn't the most letting go chart to begin with. You know, it's not, Aries Cancer is usually doing something or like taking it on or moving it forward. And so here the current moment is about like, how do we just release control and just really, you know, kind of just have faith in the bigger, in the unknowns. And so faith would be the key word for Mom Aries in this time, I would say. And then, you know, I don't also have the birth time for baby and for baby Aquarius. And, you know, also baby Aquarius isn't having like, you know, this is under, baby Aquarius is under 1 year old. So there's not a whole lot with transits and progressions at the moment. I mean, of course there are, but not so different from the birth chart. Of course there are. But one thing I just noticed I thought was interesting is that baby Aquarius also has a Mercury in Capricorn like dad. And this is why the structure just works so well for the baby too. It's like, baby's like, give me structure. I want to think in terms of structure. I want to have know my day. I want to know hour to hour. I want to have my sleep on routine. I want to know, I want you to give me that structure. Give it to me. Like that's what this baby needs. And so knowing that as you build out the future plans with the new baby, like, of course, you're going to naturally keep that structure going. It's going to be, you know, just part of that. And that helps the day and the expectations of the day so much, especially with, you know, a huge change, which for a baby, and we know, you know, if you're a parent, you might know this. I didn't know this before becoming a parent, but like having a second kid is a huge deal for the first kid. And like learning about that has sent me down a whole road into my own childhood and my own like processing of getting a younger brother, which I don't fully remember, obviously, because I was only 3 years old. But like, you know, I've done a lot of healing over the last few months just thinking about like, what was that like when I had to like let go of having my parents to myself and I got this like new little baby. Now, all of a sudden, I was the bad guy. I was like the big sister who was definitely, you know, in trouble all the time because I was just doing my normal toddler stuff. And, you know, now maybe I could hurt this little baby. So it's like the older kid suddenly gets all this responsibility. It suddenly turns kind of into the bad guy, whether or not the parents are trying. You know, of course, we don't want to make our beloved child into the bad guy, but it's just natural. It's like, ah, got to protect this tiny little baby. And now this toddler's running around and they're throwing things, you know, and like, and so, yeah, so it's interesting because baby Aquarius has a lot of Saturn stuff. Saturn in Aquarius and the sun in Aquarius. And so, you know, there's a sense with this baby Aquarius of like taking on responsibility. And so for you guys, just knowing, our kid is like really prone to taking on a lot of responsibility and trying and kind of like, you know, we want to really soften for our kid and help that kid, you know, stay a baby as long as we can and kind of help, you know, let that kid have all their feelings and their expression too. There's a great podcast that talks a lot about having the older sibling and the younger sibling and having a toddler with a new baby. And it's called Unruffled. So I don't know if that would be helpful for you. I listen to it all the time. It's my favorite podcast, Unruffled by Janet Lansbury. So that's all I'll say. I know we're going way over time, but it was
Unruffled.
Yeah.
Unruffled and then returning the ruffles to the sleeves of the moon and Leo baby, of course. Oh. Yeah. It's interesting when you were speaking, and I won't get too much into it. I know we're creating some structure. We're creating a container here, yeah. So we don't spill too much over. But I've been playing more and more, and I think we've riffed on it on the podcast before, but with this kind of journey through the planets, like what it looks like, if we just start at the ascendant, And like who we meet along the road, and we're just sort of rotating counterclockwise through the planets. And it's like where we go and then where we leave, you know, in the 12th house, if there's anything there, like what the last thing is that we meet, what the first thing is that we meet. And it's interesting to think about this sandwich between Neptune, you know, Neptune almost rising, essentially rising, but from the 12th house. And then Mercury being the first thing we meet in the first house in this person. And these are really energies, if we take them in isolation, not placing them in a sign, that are really about dissolution, about adaptation, about a certain, you know, quicksilver quality to shifting realities. And I don't know, I've been thinking more and more about, this isn't, you know, some big full thought yet, but what our orientation is when we work in our chart around the natural sign rulership of a planet versus or alongside our sign, like considering in Mercury and Capricorn, you know, like the relationship of Capricorn to Gemini, you know, because part of the placement, of course, is that we want to like amplify and support what that energy already is. But part of it's also like it's answering to something else. So what does it look like when Capricorn answers to Gemini? You know, that there's almost maybe this spontaneous emergent structure that happens where it's like pop-up stores or pop-up tents. It's like, you know, we're in this moment. And then Capricorn like arranges a booth around it or like here. And it was kind of what I was thinking about when this parent almost like following the baby and like following them, like where they go and doing weird shit. And then like being there to, you know, to rise up and create sort of a spontaneous kit, almost like your spontaneous context around this character, you know, this being. And then it was, I also thought it was interesting when you talked about the family, like all three of these, I think, because I think mom has Mars in Capricorn. We've got dad with Mars in Taurus, baby, existing baby with Mars in Capricorn, and mom with Mars in Capricorn. So there's something about like the fundamental life force, like these people feel alive when they're able to tangibilize things, you know, when they're able to move things from here to here. And yeah, I don't know. Mm. And that's all I have to say about that. But yeah, we can pull some tarot.
Let's pull a tarot card.
Let's pull it out. I think put it in, pull it out. Yeah, that's like the Aquarius Capricorn edge. Something in there. All right. I might actually just pull, because you just said pull a tarot card.
Yeah.
I might actually just pull one.
I was feeling that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just do one. Clean.
All right. Clean. Clean and clear. Aquarius, I can see for miles. What do we got? All right. I've got the Hierophant here, which is naturally ruled by Taurus, which is, you know, kind of an interesting rulership. I feel like a lot of tarot readers and practitioners with regard to like the astrological relationship to the cards have like a funny, like, what does the Hierophant have to do with Taurus? Because I think there's a lot of treatments of this card that make it sound kind of headier than it is. Mm. But for me, there's a really strong felt sense in this card that's about sort of like the storage of material. It's almost like muscle memory. And part of that is the idea of being inherently, innately resourced based on pattern recognition almost. And that can go in both ways. Like we've all been in situations where we have a knee jerk to something that maybe is disproportionate, or maybe we were being called into a different kind of responsiveness, but we're like, you know, functioning on muscle memory where we get into like a groove that may or may not be kind of serving, like an autopilot of sensation. And there's also, I think, a property to this card where we get sort of like our own teacher quality, or being able to sort of like mine our own knowledge. That's like, we can recognize even when we don't recognize. Like, and I think this is actually not that it has to be about this person in their chart, but there's something interesting about that vis-a-vis our conversation around Capricorn Aquarius, where it's not like you have to necessarily have the anticipation of the structure in place. There are truly, if we're going back to what you were saying so astutely in the beginning of the conversation, Sandy, in some ways, there's truly no surprises in Aquarius country, because Aquarius is wide enough to hold it all. And it's able to sense the panoramic sort of prophecy or the oracular nature of all things arriving and finding their right place. And there's something about the energy of the Hierophant that I think really weaves with that, because we can go into a situation even where on the surface things will seem like, oh, everything's totally different here, or I don't really recognize what's going on. But there's something constant within us that's able to maybe recognize a small quality of that that's known to us, not necessarily like from a planning perspective of a moment to know exactly what to do, but some quality of like being innately resourced, which I think was something that you said to this person's chart in the beginning too. And so again, there's this interesting relationship, I think, between earth energy and an inherent fullness of that arsenal of kind of resources. And then, I don't know. And now I'm getting all like whatever fuzzy in my brain about the known unknowns and the unknown knowns. But like even the unknown, even the surprise, there is a knowingness to that in Aquarius, because Aquarius is a friend to all phenomenon. Like it is able to hold the entirety of experience before we release the entirety of experience in Pisces. And so there really aren't any unknowns. Like, and even the surprises are opportunities, I think, to, for welcoming that sensation. So that's I'll leave really it there.
Okay, wait. But now I have to say one more thing that I'd forgotten about until you pulled this card. So when I was studying this question yesterday, I was kind of like trying to meditate on it. In my mind's eye, this could just be my imagination. I don't know. You know, I encountered like one of this, because I told you I know this person, and I encountered, a spirit guide for this person who I also know, who is a grandmother type figure. And she was a Taurus, and she was like a very quiet in life, a very quiet kind of grounded, a little bit reserved person, very wise. And she just had one thing to say to this questioner, which was, don't overthink it. And and that was so, and she's such a Taurus, but she's like, what are you thinking about all this for? Just don't overthink it. And it makes me think of the Hierophant and the resources and this kind of like the unknowns and the knowns and the questions. It's like, that's maybe a good place to leave this whole thing for Aquarius in general. This is Taurus talking to Aquarius now. And I don't know why Taurus has to talk to Aquarius at the end of this, but it's just like, don't overthink it. Just do it. Just live it.
It does. Yeah. And this is an arc that we see too in the fixed sign progression. Taurus is the first fixed sign we meet. Aquarius is the last fixed sign. All fixed signs are involved in widening and holding, at least in my estimation, And so we see the closing of the arc, and Aquarius has to, in some ways, respond to what was begun in Taurus. The known knowns, the unknown knowns, the unknown unknowns, and the other one that I can't remember. holding you, listeners, in all of the windows on the world that you're experiencing right now, and we will find you in complete dissolution. So get ready to wash away those plans and, fly free in Pisces season. And until then, take good care, and we'll see you over there.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to ask a question about your own chart, you can do so at starpartypodcast.com/question and visit my website, that's sandycitron.com, for courses and mini readings and regular astrology readings. I'll be doing one question readings on new moons and full moons. So sign up at my website, sandycitron.com. And Besmatasa's website is besmatasa.com. We'll see you soon.